Bless you, Sammy. Anyway, I really felt that that was really on my heart for a lot of the week. So I'm very blessed as well because I feel really, really privileged. I've got some dear friends that are joining us here today, and not meaning to embarrass our friends, but I've got Rachel and Drew and little Xavier. We actually served up in we served up in Malaysia together. So how cool is that? That we're now both posted back to Richmond. So it's a blessing to have you here. And we've also got David and Natalie, who live up the road from us. David is a great mate of mine, become a great encouragement. And he's blessed with a beautiful wife, Natalie, and a great family as well. But special mention to David, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday, mate. He's only 26 years old. Amazing. So go with him a happy birthday after the service. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And for the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. What a scary passage of scripture. This morning I want to speak on greater blessing, greater burden. Greater blessing, we love that part. Greater burden, as in responsibility. What are we going to do with it? It's easy to be distracted in life. I know I've been distracted plenty of times. And in fact, one of the wonderful examples I remember, and I remind myself not to be distracted through this, is a lady that had a car accident. I was only within the first sort of few weeks of my time in the police force. And it was just outside of Liverpool, and basically a lady had, or there was a red light, the car had stopped the red light, and the lady ran straight in the back of the car in front of her. Anyway, so I've rocked up in the police truck, and we've pulled up on the curb and got out, and I said, "Ma'am, are you the driver of this car that ran into the back of the other car?" And she said, "Yes, yes, that's, I'm the driver." I said, "Okay, can you just tell me what happened?" She said, "Well, I was driving along, I leant down to change the radio station, and as I've looked up, bang, I just hit the back of the car in front of me. I didn't see the red light, and I didn't see the car stop." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Are you sure that's what happened?" She said, "Oh, yeah, yeah." I said, "Just tell me again." She said, "I was driving along, leant down to change the radio, looked up, and just couldn't stop in time, hit the back of the car in front of me." I said, "Ma'am, come with me to the police truck." And I sat her in the driver's seat of the police truck, and I sat in the passenger seat. I said, "Now just run me through that again. What happened?" She said, "I was driving along and leant down to change the radio station," and she's sort of fiddling with the radio, "and then looked back up and bang, hit the back of the car in front of me." I said, "Ma'am, have a look at yourself in the rear vision mirror." And so she pulled herself up from the steering wheel and looked at herself in the rear vision mirror. And she sort of sighed and sat back down. I said, "Now, ma'am, would you like to tell me what really happened?" She said, "Okay. I was driving along and I was doing my lipstick, not paying attention, hit the back of the car in front of me." And I said, "Ma'am, that's the reason why half your lip is painted and the rest is running up the side of your face." Yeah. Either way, radio station or lipstick, she wasn't paying attention. Her job was to drive the car. Her job was to make sure that she was in the right gear, traveling at the right speed, to be observant of all the different things around her, the stop signs, the speed limits, the red light. But she had lost focus. She had lost sight of the big picture. And I think that can sometimes happen with us. I can certainly attest to it happening to me. I want all the blessing, but what I fail to sometimes see is that with the blessing comes a burden, comes a responsibility. Greater blessing, greater burden. Now we're going to look at the first chapter of Luke. Now I love the book of Luke. amazing the background is. So Luke was a Greek doctor. He was a physician, so he had a scientific mind. He was a Gentile Christian. In fact, the only Gentile to write one of the New Testament books. In fact, he wrote two. He was a close friend of the Apostle Paul's. As I said, he wrote two books. He wrote Luke and Acts. Well, actually, it's one book, but in two parts. This book of Luke was written about around 60 AD, and it is what we have today is the most comprehensive gospel message within the four gospel the four gospels. He, with his scientific mind, went on a journey of investigating in detail the prophecies and then them coming to reality in the life of Jesus. As I said, he later goes on to write the book of Acts, and we call it, interesting, the Acts of the Apostles, but I wonder whether Luke had his way. If he had his way, he'd call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it's not about what the apostles did, but rather it is the Holy Spirit breaking in to their world and changing their lives. It's written to Most Excellent Theophilus. Most Excellent Theophilus. Now, that, as we know in history, was a real person that asked Dr. Luke to go and investigate all these claims that had taken place. But the interesting thing is, I think it's for us as well today, because the name Theophilus is in two parts, the first part being Theo, which means God, and the second part being Philos or Philo, which means love. So the word Theophilus or the name Theophilus actually means lovers of God. So this book of Luke, yes, it was addressed to Theophilus, but for us today as well, as lovers of God, it is very relevant to us. It is addressed to us as well. So that's a bit of the background, a bit of the context. It's important that we understand that when we examine the scriptures. And you ready to come on a bit of a journey? I'm excited. Luke chapter 1, starting off at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, I'll just stop there. We know that Elizabeth was a relative of Mary. It says it earlier on in Luke chapter 1, earlier on in the chapter. We know that Mary was advanced in some years. She was actually beyond her normal childbearing age. In fact, this child of Elizabeth was prophesied, and the priest Zechariah, so Mary and Zechariah, the priest, this was prophesied. And in fact, this child that Elizabeth was carrying was in fact John the Baptist, preparing a way for Jesus, like a voice crying out in the wilderness. So we'll carry on. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her. Who'd be excited about this? Got a visitation from an angel. Man. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Or, "Greetings, you who are highly blessed, the Lord is with you." But look at this. Mary was greatly troubled. Mary was greatly troubled. In fact, the Message translation talks about thoroughly shaken. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Question: how can you receive such amazing news yet be so troubled? How can you receive such phenomenal news yet be so shaken? Well, here Mary was, a young woman of Nazareth, relatively obscure within society, not of great wealth or riches or fame, engaged to a carpenter named Joseph. Life was quite satisfactory. relatively comfortable. Anticipation of the marriage was at the forefront. And then God messed up all of her plans with an unexpected visit from one of his angels, Gabriel. "Hail Mary, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Wow, what an encounter. What an encounter with a messenger of God himself, bringing blessing and letting her know of the very presence of God with her. And to this out of the blue appearance, Mary was deeply troubled. So I ask again, how in the world can you receive such amazing news, yet be so troubled? How could you get such great news, yet feel so bad? Well, maybe we don't give Mary the credit that she deserves. Here she was young, from a humble background, yet I believe that she was wise and spiritually attuned beyond our comprehension. I believe that Mary knew something that we often miss, and it's this: with every blessing comes a burden. With every miracle comes some misery. With every healing, there is some suffering. And with every up, there's also going to be some down. I wonder if she knew something somewhere back there in the deep recesses of a spirit, that she would be the only person in history to be present at the birth of her son and then witness the death of her Savior. Great blessing. A child from God. Great burden to watch that child that you raised, that you loved, that you adored, to die a brutal death on a cross. Such pleasure, yet such pain. "Hail Mary." Oh no, God. "Greetings, Mary." Oh my goodness, God. "Favor, Mary." Freaking out, God. One of the characteristics of life is how paradoxical it is. It is very seldom that we get all of one thing without the impost of another thing. We don't get all good times without some tough times. We don't get all tough times without some good times. We don't get all pleasure without some pain. We don't get all success without some struggle. It all comes down to how we handle it. Our lives are filled with ups and downs, right and wrong, good and bad. But this does not exempt us from our responsibility. And the word responsibility is those two words, our ability to respond. The truth is that when God's word comes into our life, just like for Mary, it will disrupt and even disturb some of those things within us. This happens even when the word is positive and good. It will still be disruptive. If we want to do our little thing and fulfill our own vision and dreams, then we best not bring God into the equation, because he will switch things up for his glory and for the good of people. Yeah, we might have some plans, but he will really stuff up our self-conceited plans. As the Proverbs say, many are the plans that a person can make, but ultimately it's God's purpose that will prevail. He will trump. Mary had some plans. And then she got this. "Greetings, Mary." G'day, God. Let's carry on. Verse 30, Luke chapter 1. "But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Let's not confuse Mary's question with doubt. Mary is just like my wife. She doesn't want the vagueness of our maleness. She just wants some details. She wasn't doubting. She's like, okay, how's this going to be? Give me some of the details. And then the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. And now look at Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Even though greater blessing brings greater burden, greater faith brings greater faithfulness. We use God all the time for our own gain. But the truth is that life is not about us using God for our own gain, but rather God using us for his own glory. We must be available and attentive to when God speaks, and then we must understand that when he speaks, it cancels out everything that we had in mind. His word trumps. Now, can you imagine what Mary was going through and what she was anticipating that lay ahead of her life now at this point in time? Here she was, having saved herself for her husband, preparing for her wedding, and in comes God, and he blessed her and busted all of her plans. Here's a reality check for us all. People look with jealousy and envy at those who are blessed, but they do not see the burden that comes with the blessing. I can look at the life of David and Sammy. I can look at the life of Marcus and Claire. I can look at the life of all these people that we get to join together with on Sundays and throughout the week. And I'm like, man, you were so blessed. And I can look at it with a sense of envy because I know the challenges and the struggles that I have. But the problem is we never really see the burden in a person's blessing. We never really see the misery that a person had to go through before they got their miracle. That is a good reality check for us. Mary didn't abort the blessing of a baby to save herself from the burden of seeing that baby die on a cross, or seeing her son die on a cross. Blessings and burdens are related. In fact, God can only bless us according to our ability to withstand the burden. Just like every miracle is related to a misery, we want miracles at times without ever having to walk through the misery. John chapter 5, the man sat by the pool at Bethesda for 38 years with his infirmity before he received his miracle. 38 years. Mark chapter 10. Bartimaeus was blind and a beggar who sat by the side of the road day in and day out before he received a touch from Jesus and his eyes were opened. Yeah, he was blessed, but man, he went through some burden. Luke chapter 8. The woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. constantly bleeding for 12 years before she was able to reach out and touch Jesus and receive her miracle. Man, that is misery. Yet through the misery, her ability to withstand that, she received a miracle. John chapter 11. Lazarus was dead. Before he could be brought to life by Christ. Dead. That's some misery. Some stinking misery indeed. So there is a relationship between misery and miracles. We cannot have healing if we have never been sick. We cannot be lifted up if we have never been down. And there is no resurrection if we have never been dead. That's why we are born again into the kingdom of God as a daughter and son of the one that sits on the throne. Dead. Great blessing, but there is a burden. And here in Luke, we see the angel rock up, as I said, mess Mary's wedding plans up, disclose the details of a miracle that will put her on the map of history forever. And she knows that if she receives this miracle, then she also opens herself up to potential misery. The miracles of carrying the Savior of the world in your own womb. Wow. But along with that, the misery of being unwed in that society, pregnant, riding on a donkey in the Palestinian heat with sand in her teeth, looking for accommodation, just somewhere to give birth to a baby. What a blessing. Yeah, what a burden. God wants to do something in our life, but it is going to mess up our self-centered, self-absorbed, and self-driven personal agendas. As this church grows more and more, how exciting. More people connecting to Christ. More people connecting to his family. What a blessing. But you might not be able to sit in that same seat that you sit in every Sunday. You might have to park a little bit further away from where you are now. You might have to wait like an extra 10 minutes for that beautiful smashed Avo sourdough feast that we get down at that wonderful cafe of ours. You might have to jump on a team and serve. You might have to help out welcoming people. You might have to help out with the cleaning. You might have to cook some meals when people are going through tough times. What a blessing! Full! But with that blessing comes a burden, comes a responsibility, comes something which is sometimes uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. I wonder why the angel told Mary that she was highly favored. I reckon it was because there were going to be times, many times, that she certainly didn't feel favored. And she needed to be reminded back there. But hold on to the miracle because it's going to outlast the misery. Maybe that got her through. Mary, you're highly favored. Your miracle is going to outlast your misery. Your blessing is going to outlast the burden. Verse 38, as I said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. That was Mary's response. Her predisposition of the heart. She was a faith-filled young woman ready to serve her faithful, loving, and gracious God. Let's keep reading. Verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried down to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Why am I so blessed that the most blessed woman now I see has come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. When we say yes to God, then he will connect us with people that will encourage, that will strengthen, and that will walk the journey of life with us through those tough times. I mean, there's so much in this part here. Mary made her way to Elizabeth's place, and it was quite a distance. So she was proactive in being connected. That's the first thing. Second thing was this was a divine connection and caused John to leap, John the Baptist, to leap within the womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The sharing of Mary's blessing caused the dream within another person to leap. The sharing of our blessing with others will awaken the blessing within them. Leapt for joy. Leapt. We'll be strengthened through strategic allegiances. People who are kin to our dream and our duress will be able to empathize with us. Our compassion, the compassion that we receive, will only come through connection with others. Yeah, we're blessed, but we're not blessed to walk the journey alone. We're blessed to walk the journey together. And I believe that what we make happen for others, our encouragement, our compassion, our love, our support, what we make happen for others will be returned tenfold. Huge amounts, overflowing. All right, let's finish this out. Mary's song, Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 46. And Mary said, after receiving this news, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds, and with his arm, he has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And then it says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Man. All that she has been through, all that she was going to have to go through, all that burden, she talks about the blessing. She talks about the blessing. I believe that we are called to worship God in our uncertainty, as this demonstrates our understanding of his sovereignty. Mary worshipped in wonder. Now I'm going to close this out, and I'll invite the band to come back up, if that's cool. But I don't know if you remember last time, you probably don't. I'm happy if you put that entire thing out, you might. But I wrote a poem. And this poem is called Bless Me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. The burden in the blessing. Bless me, Lord, I want to see everything that you have for me. Heap it on and overflow. Pour out your blessings here below. I'm ready, Lord, to receive it now. Come on, Lord, just show me how. To receive from you in abundant measure, please bless me, Lord, with your heavenly treasure. Are you sure you know what you're asking for? Do you know what comes when I give you more? Are you really ready for what I have for you? Do you know really what my blessing brings on too? Yes, Lord, I'm ready. Bring it on. Bless me now and don't wait long. My arms are open. Heart is steady. I'm bracing for it, strong and steady. Okay, my child, here it goes. Get ready for the wind that blows. Stretch out your sail and prepare the ship. Get ready for an adventurous trip. My blessing comes, but not what you expect. It may cause you to lose all dignity and respect. People may talk about your plight. What will happen to you won't seem a delight. I'll break into your world and bust all your plans, those plans you have constructed by human hands. It is I that can see the beginning from end. Will you trust me as all your desires I bend? Oh, my Lord, I thought it was all meant to be nice. I thought your blessing was a heavenly slice. I didn't know that it would change all my well-set life and would potentially bring me trouble and strife. So I guess I still want your blessing on me, maybe just a little, so that I can taste and see. I want to make sure that I can handle the load, your blessing and burden trying not to implode. My child, I am with you each step of the journey. It cost me my son, so in this burden, please hear me. You will not be left to carry the weight, for I give you my spirit to keep your back straight. Please cry out for my blessing, but I want you to discern. This gift is related to a cause for concern. But cast all your cares, for I hold you within, for in your faith, my grace will begin. Hail, my child, highly favored are you, for I have something eternal I want you to do. Hold on tight and stay for the ride, for along with this blessing in you I abide. Bless me, Lord. I want to see everything that you have for me. I know it will cost to surrender my way, but I know it will render salvation that day. In Luke chapter 9, we see a miracle take place. We see 5,000, well, that's just the blokes, but you know, you think of the multitude of people fed with a couple of pieces of bread and some fish. But here's what happened. The boy came and presented Jesus with the bread and fish. And it says that Jesus blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he distributed it. There was great blessing in the breaking. I look at my life, and there are so many broken parts. And I'm believing that God will heal me and set me free from all different things, only if you knew. But it doesn't render his blessing void. The Last Supper, great job on that, you know. Jesus thanked, or Jesus was thankful for the food. The other translations talk about a blessing. And then he broke it. And then he distributed it. God blesses us. But you know what? There are going to be times where he breaks us so that we come to realize that it's only in his strength. Sorry, it's only in our weakness, in our brokenness, that his strength is made perfect. Jesus came into this world blessed. blessed, but then was broken. And then he ascended. And the reason why he ascended is so that the Holy Spirit could descend. And that's why he could say that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I have been talking about burden with blessing this morning, but the burden is not for us to carry. That's not what the intent is. It is the Holy Spirit that is infused in our lives, that fills us, that gives us that strength to endure through the misery to see the miracle, through the burden to see the blessing. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jacob wrestled with God all night and wouldn't let go. I think Genesis 32, around there. Wouldn't let go until you bless me. And we read that God did bless him and then he busted his hip. Because he wanted Jacob to understand that yes, he would walk within the blessing, but come within that blessing is a responsibility to cleave to God. It is not in our own strength. Every time he felt that hip, he was reminded of the blessing of God and then the burden that he now faced to lead the people of Israel. In our blessing, there is going to be brokenness. In our blessing, there is going to be a burden. If you feel broken at the moment, God wants to meet you there. If you feel physically broken, spiritually broken, emotionally broken, relationships are breaking, socially, God wants to meet us there. And he wants to bless us in that place as we yield to him. Can we all stand together? And let me just pray, and then we'll have a time of worship. And then, who have we got coming back up? We've got somebody coming back up. But let's just pray together. Almighty God, you see the conditions of our heart. Lord, you see the challenges that we face. You see the struggles. But in our struggle, Lord, that's where we find great comfort. Lord, we recognize our fragility in life. We recognize that often we're not up to the task. But that does not render your blessing null and void. Lord, just like Mary, can we declare this morning, I am your servant. Let your word be as you have said it would be. Lord, in Jesus' name, Almighty God, where healing is needed, to bring healing. Break down walls where there is hardness of heart. Lord, relationships, restore. Broken dreams, mend. Crushed vision, revive. Let your people walk with great faith. In Jesus' name. Now, just before I go down, just keep where you are. And I want to pray a prayer of blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine down upon you and give you strength. May you live daily basking in his glory. And may you be so filled with his Spirit that you impact the world with his love. In Jesus' name, amen.